So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Genesis chapter 1, very beginning. We have been in the very beginning for the last several weeks where we are looking at the creation account within the book of Genesis, specifically in the chapters 1 and 2. I promise we will move on from chapters 1 and 2 in a couple weeks, but there's a lot in chapters 1 and 2. And so as we kind of hover in these two chapters, remember we are looking at the creation account not just through the lens of what exactly happened and how did it all happen. We see some of that, but the lens we're looking at, looking through in regards to the creation account is, well, who? Who is this God that created all things? Who is this one that created and formed us? Who are we because of him? So as we study chapters 1 and 2, we're just highlighting who God is, who we are to God, what our relationship with God and others is like. We see all of that in the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2. So quick recap, as we think about us and our relationship with God and his relationship with us, it started with him forming us. We looked at that last week, that God formed us by his hands, that he breathed the breath of life into us, and then he gave us purpose. He formed us in his own image. He breathed life into us, gave us his spirit, and then he gave us purpose, gave us actually responsibilities. And so that's where we're gonna hang out. We looked at us being created in the image of God last week, what it looked like, what it meant for us to be formed by his hand, in his image, and breathed into by him. Now we're gonna focus on what is this purpose he has given us? What are these responsibilities that he has actually delegated to us? So to talk about that, the purpose and these responsibilities that God has given us, we are gonna use this word to talk about it, work. We are gonna use the word work. Now, even by saying the word work, I recognize what happens. Like, it's the weekend, we don't wanna talk about work. Or, I don't really like my job right now, can we talk about something else? Like, there's emotions that come with the word work. So let me do this, two things. First, let me define it for us, help us understand that word, and then we're gonna talk about the feelings and emotions that come with it. So first, let's talk about when I say the word work, here's what I'm referring to and here's what we see in scripture. It is not talking about the job that gives you a paycheck. That is certainly part of your work. It is not fully encompassing your work. Work is a very broad term that speaks to any effort that we put in to what God has given us in regards to a purpose. That's what we're talking about when I say work. When we read about work, it's any effort that is put towards something based on the God-given purpose. So parents, are you working as parents? Yes! It's hard work being a parent. Do you get paid for that work? No, but you should, right? But it's work. That counts as work. If you're retired, you can't say, I'm done with work. You might be done with a certain job, but if you still got breath in your lungs, if your heart is still beating, there is still work for you to do. If you're a student, if you're an athlete, if you are in the middle of your career, all and everywhere and in between, that is all considered work. We work within families. We work within relationships. Yes, we work within jobs and careers. We work within our church. We have work. We call them volunteers. That's work. You just don't get paid for it. It's work. We do work within our communities. We do work with one another. We do work in our neighborhoods. There's work that we do a lot of work within our lives, and a job is a very small part of it. So when I say work, I am talking about all that. So all of us are included and we have work to do and God has given us work. That's how we're gonna talk about work. Not just a job, but it's what God is calling us to do, where God is inviting us into the responsibilities that he's given us, work. That's work. Now let's talk about the emotions that come with work. Typically, work has the emotions and the connotation of something negative. So we say things like, oh, I am so sick and tired of work. I don't wanna get up and go to work. I'm just ready for the weekend so I can take a break from work. I wish I didn't have to work. Like, we have these feelings around work where it's something negative, right? But I want us to prayerfully and hopefully, as we go through Genesis 1 and 2 again, to be able to see work through a different lens and a different perspective. The broad term of work. And then we get to see that this is actually something significant and special and unique to us as human beings. And that the work that we have is God-given. One author of a commentary, he said it this way. I think this is great. He said, work is a God-given assignment, not a cursed condition. We tend to think of it as the cursed condition. It's not. Our work, the work that comes from God, is a God-given assignment. And as we're going to see, God gave work before sin ever entered the world. Sin did not happen and by our rebellion, and then therefore there was work as a consequence. No, work was given by God before sin ever entered into the world. So as we go through our study this morning, look for work. What is the work that God has given us? What does this work mean? What does this work look like? We're going to talk through the lens of the purpose and work that God has given us. And maybe, just maybe, we can walk out of here and into the world where we are going to work for his good, for his kingdom, for his purpose, with maybe a different perspective. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 26. I'd love for you to have a physical Bible because I'm going to tell you to underline and circle some things. If you don't have one, out in the lobby next to the doors, that is our free gift to you. Grab a Bible on your way out today and bring it back next week. Use it throughout the week and you can mark it all up. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is after God has already created the universe. We said this in week one that he formed what was formless. He filled what was empty, and then he started giving purpose to that which lacked purpose. And now we are at the end of creation account where he is creating human beings and creating Adam and Eve. Verse 26, and then God said, let us make human beings in our image and to be like us. They will reign over, that sounds like work. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. We talked about that last week. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Sounds like work. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. These two phrases, one we see twice. Govern it and reign over it. Govern it, like take care of, keep watch of. Reign over, there's actually some level of authority given here. So keep in mind, like, pay attention to what God's doing here. We saw this in the very beginning, that God created. He's creator. Ultimate authority comes from him. He is fully in charge. Yet when he created us, formed us in his own image by his own hands and breathed life into us, he then actually delegated and gave us some version of authority. He gave us and delegated to us a responsibility to govern and reign over all that which God had created. Now, we can't let this like go to our heads where we think we are all powerful. God gave us the power and the authority to rule and reign. Not exactly. The better image here is that of a representative, where God created us and formed us in his own image by his hand, breathed life into us, and then is inviting us to take on the responsibility of his representative here on earth. But that's work. Governing, ruling, reigning, being a representative, it is work. So God formed us in his image, and then gave us and delegated to us the work of being his representative here on earth. Now, being a representative doesn't mean that that power is yours. You're just representing the one who has the power. Doesn't mean you have full authority. It means you're just representing the one who has the authority. Think of it like this. So we're in a great season as our family. My oldest son, Connor, is now 13. This was a big deal for us personally. This means that short date nights, like when Becky and I just like go down the street for a quick date, we now can mandate our son be the babysitter in the house for that short period of time. This is a great season for us. And so we've been doing this more often. We don't go very far if it's just him. If we're gone a lot later, then we'll invite and pay another babysitter to come in. But I'm like, I don't have to pay my son to do this. This is just part of what you do being a 13-year-old kid in our house. And But I give him this whole spiel of, hey, me and your mom, we're going to go out. It's just going to be for like an hour or so. While you're here, I need you to pay attention. I need you to watch over your siblings. But then I also have to say, but you are not really in charge. That doesn't go well with the other siblings, right? So what am I asking my oldest son, Connor, to do while we are gone and out of the house? I want you to just pay attention. I want you to watch over. I want you to be helpful. If one of your siblings needs something, I want you to help them. And if something does go down, if something bad happens, don't try to fix it. Just call me. We promise we will show back up. I just need you to be my representative while we're on a date. Is Connor the parent? No, absolutely not. Do I want that power to go to his head? No. But am I asking him and delegating certain parental responsibilities to him? Yes. Am I asking him to do some version of this work of being a parent? Sort of, and yes, for a little bit of time. That's the image here, that we are the representatives of God here on earth. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 speaks kind of to the, use different language, but the same picture. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things or the good work that he planned for us long ago. Now notice what comes first though. This is important. We are God's masterpiece. It begins with identity. Notice it's not we work really hard and then maybe we'll be his masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece because he created us and formed us in the image of God and breathed life into us. We are his creation. We are his children. We are his masterpiece. And that is not tied to how well we work. Please get that. Please have that right in your head. We get our identity from who God is and who he says we are. We are God's masterpiece. But then we do see work in this passage. But notice it's God's work first. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So this is who we are according to God, his masterpiece. What does he do first? He works. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. It was the work of Jesus on the cross that frees us from our sins and gives us eternal life, the free gift of eternal life because of his grace. He did the work first before we ever worked. So we get our identity from God before we worked. God did work before we worked. And then a response to who we are and what he has done. Then we get to do this good work. We get to do these good things that he planned for us long ago. We get to do work, but notice it's work within his plan. So that means the work that we do is still according to his purpose, his will, his word, and his ways. The timing is so important. Your identity, my identity, is not found in what we do. Our identity is not in our work. Our identity is in Christ. We recognize the work of Christ in our own lives. And then now we get to live out and work these good things that he has planned for us long ago. But our identity is in him. But we recognize this is God-given. The work is God-given. It is a God assignment from the creation story all the way into the New Testament and to our lives today as well. Let's keep reading. Verse 29. So God formed by his own hand in his own image. Then he breathed life. And then he gave purpose and gave work. Verse 29, then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given, there it is a second time, I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Basically everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made. He saw that it was very good. And evening passed, morning came, marking the sixth day. Do you see the word that was mentioned twice here? Given. Specifically, it's God that gave. He said, I have given you. And he's talking about food. And then he says it again. I have given all of this for their food. What do we see here right on the heels of here's the work that I'm giving you? We see that God is provider. Please be clear. Let's be clear on this. Yes, we have God-given work. But our provider is God. He's making that clear. Hey, I've got work for you to do. I've got these assignments for you to do. I'm gonna call you to these specific things. I'm gonna give you responsibility and even authority, but I'm the one that provides. Do you see how God separates the work and the provision? It's not work really hard, Adam and Eve, to make sure you get enough. It's I'm giving you work because this is the purpose I've given you. Like I'm excited to give you some of this responsibility and to be my representative, but I am the one, God said. I am the one that provides. It is not our work that provides. It is God who provides, him and only him. Jesus talks about this same idea in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. We could read the whole chapter. You could do that on your own. But verse 31, Jesus said, so don't worry about all these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? Because what do we think of? Well, I have to work really hard to provide so that I am provided for these, right? Jesus is going to give us a different perspective. Why do you think about these things? Why are you worried about these things? Verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So what do? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you, same language from the creation account, and he will give you everything that you need. In other words, God is our provider. Yes, we work, but we work not to provide for ourselves. We work because this is God's given assignment to us. It's us being his representative. That's why we work. It's not just so we can provide for ourselves. We must rely on God. We depend on God. We trust on God. We are not trying to work our way to a place where we don't need God. Not at all. So what do we do with this? We trust God, not our work. Yes, we still work. Please don't mishear me. This isn't a, well, if God's going to provide, I just won't do anything and I'll just let him just do it all. Not how this is intended to work. No, we still work, but we're trusting God in our work and with our work. We are trusting God more than our work. We are looking to God to provide, not our work. We look to him, not anything or anyone else. The reason this is so important is because what this can lead to. So we all, like I said, we all work, whether it's paid, unpaid, whether it's in the home, out of the home, in church, community, like we're all doing work all the time, right? If we work without trusting in God, so we're working but not trusting in God, here's where it leads. It leads to control and idolatry. Let me say it again. Working without trusting in God will lead to control and idolatry. And it sounds like this. Well, I have to work extra hard because if I don't, then I won't get. If I don't show up to work and do all of this, then I'll never have. I have to put work before everything and anything else because if I don't, then I'll never get this. That's what it sounds like to work without trusting in God. Every single time it will lead to control. Might take a while, but it will lead to control and idolatry. We might use the word a workaholic. And most of us would say, no, I'm not a workaholic. I just have a lot to do. I'm not a workaholic. I just have to like in this season right now, I just need to put this first. Do you hear the control in idolatry? Idolatry is putting anything above God. Idolatry is saying this is going to provide because I don't trust God will. So we don't trust our work. We trust in God. God, even in the order of the creation account, is here's your work, but don't trust it. Here's your work, but keep trusting me because I am your provider. Let's keep reading. Chapter 2, verse 1. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, listen for a repetition here. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day, declared it holy because it was the day he rested from all of his work, the work of creation. What word was mentioned three different times in three verses? Work. Not just work, whose work? His work. That's right. This is the work of God. So now we're getting like a zoomed out view of creation is complete. It's all done. And trust me, we're going to talk all next Sunday about this whole seventh day and limits and rest and healthy work and healthy rest and how that can be. So we're going to talk about all that next week. Focus on the work part today. What is scripture trying to tell us about who God is and what God does? He worked. He worked. Three times in three verses, we are told that phrase and his work. But then that begs the question, is he like done working or is he still working? Does he continue to work? Because we keep working. We wake up each day and there's more work. So is this true with God as well? Or has God delegated work and said, thank goodness I'm done. I'm going to go take a nap. You guys let me know when you're all finished. Where's God's role in current work? We go to a lot of places throughout scripture because a lot of aspects of scripture are pointing to the current and future work of God, not just what God did, but what he does and what he will do. So let me put up just a few, two in the New Testament, one from the Old Testament. Here's the current work of God, Romans chapter 8, 28. And we know that God causes. God is the one causing. We could say that God is working. And we know that God's work or that God causes everything to what? To work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So this speaks to situational. God is working in our situations. God is working through our circumstance. God is working in our world. We might label something as bad or wrong or even evil, but according to scripture and the truth of God's word is, yeah, but God's still working. Yes, but God is still working in that and through that. What some intended for evil at the end of Genesis, scripture said, God intended for good. God is working in our situation, in our world, in our circumstance. Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you, look, he will continue his work. He's not done yet. He will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. We use the phrase, God's not done yet. That he started a good work. And again, we're not talking situationally, we're not talking circumstance, we're not talking about like the world in general. And I am certain that God who began a good work within you, within me, now we're talking personally. He is doing work in you, not just around you, not just with the people around you, but God has started a work in you and he is not finished with you yet. He's gonna continue to do work within you. He's continuing to work. Psalm 121, you can read the whole passage on your own. That'd be great for you to do later today. Let me highlight three of the verses out of Psalm 121. The psalmist writes, "My help comes from the Lord." Notice the creation language, who made heaven and earth. So what's God's work look like? He's helping. My help comes from him. Verse 5, "The Lord himself watches over you." The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. Verse 8, "The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go." Notice the time frame here, both now and forever. Do you see the work of God now and forever? He helps, he watches over you, he comes alongside you. We could go on and on and on about the current work of God in us and around us, but then also through us. This is why this is so important, because it does, it answers the question, well, what is God doing? If he has given us and delegated responsibilities and even authority to us to be his representatives here on earth, what is God doing? Working with us. It's a beautiful picture of the partnership that he intended. This work that God has delegated and given us is not go and do it and he does something else. He stays involved. In fact, a better picture is him inviting us into a partnership where we get to participate in God's work with him. So the work that God is doing here on earth, we get to participate in that work with him. What God is doing in other people's lives, we get to participate with that work with him in the lives of other people. We're not separate from God's work. We get to work with him as he continues to work in us, through us, and obviously around us. God is still at work. Verse 4, "This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to," here's a purpose statement, "there were no people to cultivate," we're circling, "no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land." So notice our progression here. God formed man, formed Adam and Eve by his hand, in his image, breathed life into them, into us, receiving his spirit, giving us life, but then he gave us work, responsibility and authority to be his representative. But as his representative, we really hold no power and authority. It's just delegated to us for a time because we point back to him. We don't trust in our work. We don't trust in ourselves. We trust in him, the one who is the creator, the one who is sovereign over all of the universe, and we trust him to be our provider. We recognize that we're not doing this work on our own. We are really just partnering with him in his work because he is still at work. And then we get this word cultivate. That God needed people, chose to use people to cultivate the soil. Each week, I've told you, I would teach you some Hebrew words, right? We started the first week with tohu vavohu, formless and void. We've been learning Hebrew words. So here's your Hebrew word of the day. It's this word, cultivate. Avad. Say it with me, avad. Not all bad, avad. One more time. Pretty good. See, you're learning Hebrew. You spend a few weeks with me, you're gonna know tons of Hebrew. It's great. So avad is exactly what you probably would think based on the context. It means to work. Like some kind of labor, some kind of physical work. Here we're using it as cultivate because it kind of gives this image of working the ground. That's what cultivating means. You're developing or working the ground. So that word most certainly means to work. It doesn't just mean work though. If you continue to follow that word through the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, you continue to follow that word, you'll see that that word is translated serve when you use it in context of another person. So when you talk about what you're doing to the ground, it's cultivate. You avad the soil. You work the soil. When you're talking about somebody else, you would say, well, I'm serving alongside this other person or I'm helping this person. That is still avad, right? So we have work and we have serve. It shows up in another way that's kind of interesting. We probably don't expect it. Here's two passages. We'll see it a lot more places. But in Exodus, let me give you the context, and then let me read them. Context is Moses in Exodus 3 is talking to God through the burning bush. That whole scene, God is promising that God would deliver his people out of Egypt. He's going to use Moses to do so. And then he said, Moses, and you are going to deliver them through my power, and then you're going to bring them back here, and we are just going to like celebrate. So let me read it, and I'm going to use the Hebrew word when we get there. So God answered, I will be with you, and this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will avad God at this very mountain. Exodus 20, this is the Ten Commandments. This is the second of the Ten Commandments. God said, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind of image or anything. Notice creation language. In the heavens or on the earth or in the sea, you must not bow down to them or avad them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. Isn't it interesting that the Hebrew word used in the creation account and through the rest of the Old Testament, it is the same word when we talk about work, serving, and worship. We separate those, don't we? We are very good at compartmentalizing our lives. I have my work life, and then I have my friend life, and then I have my home life, and then I have my church life. We have all these different lives that we have different words for to describe it. According to the creation account, compartmentalization is not the goal. We work and worship, and it's the same word. When Adam was working the ground, he was worshiping God. I thought worship was just like singing some songs and showing up on a Sunday. It most certainly is, but it's not just that. So yeah, we worship through song. We worship through gathering together and opening God's word. We worship through our prayer time. We worship through how we work. How we work can be an act of worship. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes this to the early church. He said, work willingly at whatever you do. I love that definition of work. Whatever you're doing, whether it's in the home or with your parents or with a spouse or in a friendship, whether it's in the community, in the church, whether you're getting paid for it, not paid for it, whether you're retired, whether you're starting out, a student, whatever you do, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance. Notice he's the provider still. That the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward and that the master you are serving is Christ. That's how we worship God through our work. Lots of ways to worship the Lord with our lives. Work is not separate from worship if we do it with the right heart posture. So let's say it this way. How do we allow our work to become worship? It has to have to do with obedience to God. We have to continue to follow his word, his will, his ways. We talked about trusting already, so we have to continue to trust in him to provide. We go to him, not just to, I'm going to work myself into this, or I'm going to provide for myself. We're still trusting in the Lord, but then it's also giving him all the glory. This all points back to him anyway, because remember, I'm a representative that points people to him, not pointing them to how good of a worker I am. We point to how good our God is. So work done out of obedience to God, while trusting in God and for the glory of God, then it becomes worship. Our obedience to God as we work, our faithfulness to God and trusting in him as we work, placing him at the center of our lives, not work at the center of our lives, but then also giving God all the glory, our work can become an act of worship. And to Paul's point, no matter what the work is, no matter what the work is, we have the opportunity to work as though we're working for the Lord, not for a person, not for a paycheck, not for accolades, not for achievement. But we work because this is the responsibility God has given us, and we want to reflect his love. We want to reflect who God is as a representative, still trusting in him and giving him all the glory. Verse 7, we'll end here. Verse 7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Verse 8, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed, there's your word, and there he placed the man he had made. If you keep reading to verse 15, we see that same statement told again with a little bit more details. Verse 15 in chapter 2, the Lord God placed, there it is again, the man in the garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. When I think, maybe you're different, but when I think of the word placed, I have a very vivid image in my head. When I think of placing, I think of two hands kneeling down, picking up. Attention is focused here. This slow, methodical movement to a specific and intentional place where then with gentleness and with care, something is placed in its perfect spot, in its intended spot. Like that's the image I have for place, which is very different than, well, I'll just put you over there and see where you land. That feels very different, doesn't it? God placed Adam in the garden for an intentional reason. We see it here, to watch over and to tend to be a shepherd, to be one that would care for, that would pay attention to be the representative here on earth in a specific place at a specific time for specific work. God placed Adam, formed him by his hand in the image of God, breathed the breath of life into him, gave him purpose, and then placed him someplace intentional and specific. So now let's talk about us for a moment. That was Adam. That's Adam and Eve. Let's talk about us for a moment. Where has God placed you, and what work has God given you? Like right now, don't think future. We're talking present tense. Where has God placed you today? Family, friends, relationship, community, neighborhoods, jobs, church. Like, where has God placed you? Maybe it's not where you want to be placed. Maybe when you think of where God has placed you today, you're thinking, yeah, but like, that's just like a stepping stone. Once I get going here, once I do more work, then I will. Can we just pause and focus on the today for a moment, like where you are today? Because if scripture is true, and I believe it is, he continues to place us where he wants us at that time, which means where you are today, God desired that. God placed you there. Well, I don't know how me being where I'm at today, is anything good gonna come out of it? What do we talk about with God working? God's working, continues to work. He's not done yet. So where has God placed you? That one's usually pretty easy to recognize. We can usually figure that out. Like, all right, here's my job, here's my family, here's what I'm involved in, here's where I'm at. We can pick up on that pretty quick. The second part of that question is the harder one. And what work does God have for you there? Then it starts to be a little like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to, I mean, this is where I'm at. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Let me help give some insight into the work that we are all called to do. Again, this is not about a job. This is the work you actually do within your job. Now, your boss probably doesn't have this on a job description for you, but as a believer and a follower of Jesus who has been made in the image of God, given the breath of God and the responsibility to be his representative, this is our work. Let me walk you through them. The first one is to do the work of representing Jesus faithfully. We see this in the words we looked at already, governing and reigning over. Those are images of not a power trip, that is an image of a representative. So when you walk into your paying job, you walk in first and foremost to do the work of pointing other people to Jesus, to be a representative of him. When you're a student, you walk into school, yes, learn and grow and develop, but you are a representative and faithfully following Jesus. When you are parenting, you are a representative of Jesus. When you're relating to other people out in the community and here at church, you are first doing the work of representing Jesus faithfully. Back in the Sermon on the Mount, we mentioned chapter 6. If you go to chapter 5, we see this language around you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Those are both identity statements. Here's who you are. And what is the work of both the salt and the light? If you read the passage on your own, you'll see the whole purpose is to point people back to God, that people would see your good works and your good deeds, and they would glorify your Father in heaven. And we do that in all of our environments, the work of representing Jesus faithfully, living a life that points other people to Jesus. The second one is to do the work of serving others with love. We saw this last week. If you keep reading in Genesis chapter 2, we get to the part where the only not good, God saw that man was alone, and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. So what did he create? You remember the word last week? It was he created a helper. That's right, a helper suitable. We said the word helper is somebody that comes alongside. What one cannot accomplish, the helper comes along and accomplishes. We are called to do the work of helping one another, serving one another, coming alongside one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10. God has given each of you a different gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Notice where they come from. Those gifts come from God. He is the source. He is creator. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. He's provider. Then everything you do, all the work that you do, will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. We do the work of serving others. We do the work of coming alongside and helping others. We do the work, the people, helping the people that God has placed around us. So we represent Jesus faithfully. we serve other people in love, and then the last one is we do the work of making disciples intentionally. The language we see in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, the creation account, is be fruitful and multiply. All living creatures were given that mandate, be fruitful and multiply. Now, there is a very physical aspect to that of filling the earth. The spiritual aspect of being fruitful and multiply has to do with being a disciple that makes disciples. We follow Jesus and we lead other people to Jesus. We have a relationship with Jesus and we help others have a relationship with Jesus. We are disciples that make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus came to his disciples and said, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter the job, no matter the work, no matter the situation, no matter the environment, we have work to do. Representing Jesus faithfully, serving others, and making disciples. And this isn't, oh man, when am I gonna have like a break from all this work? This work, we get to continue. This work is a God-given assignment. This is the work that God is doing with us and in us and through us. So church, we got some work to do. But may that bring with it an excitement and an anticipation for what God is going to do in you, through you, and around you as we get to participate in the work that he is doing. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for the work that you have already done and the work that you are doing. From the work of creation to the work of breathing life into us, the work of coming alongside us, the work of doing the transformational work within our own hearts, the work of Jesus on the cross, thank you for the work that you have done. Thank you for allowing us the responsibility and opportunity to come alongside you. For whatever reason, you have chosen us to partner with us in your kingdom work. May we view work with not just an importance, but with an excitement and even a joy that what you have given us, the relationships, environments, and communities and churches you've given us, you've also given us the responsibility to do the work. So God, would you strengthen us to do the work? Would you give us the endurance to do the work? Would you remind us that you are our provider, not our work? Would you lead us in our work? Help us to be faithful representatives of you in all the work that we do. Open our eyes to the people around us that we can come alongside and serve and work with. And would you continue to grow our own faith in you as we lead others to have their own personal relationship with you? Thank you for your work. Thank you for the work you give us. May we go and work well. In Jesus' name, amen.